Okay, tonight we are continuing in our in-between series on how to grow through struggles. You might recall us asking you to nominate a few topics that we could actually look at, things that either people you know or yourselves or just being aware of the fact this is a growing concern in our nation perhaps that we should be focusing on in this church. One of the topics that came up was addiction. So tonight we'll be talking about that. Next week, just to make that known, next week I'll be talking about parenting. So it'll be good for my kids to be here for that service. It's not always you get the chance to actually parent from the pulpit and tell them how they need to obey everything you say. But I'll be dealing with parenting. I'll be sharing next week with you the successes, the blessings we've experienced, and also the things we did wrong, and how we find guidance from God in how to parent our kids. But also through that, we all have parents or had parents. So even if you don't have kids, it's good for us to understand what parenting involves so that we can respect and understand our parents more. So that's on the agenda for next week. The following week, it's also a very relevant issue, domestic violence, which Gail will address. So tonight, it's addiction. Now, in some ways, I must start by saying I don't feel that I'm the authority on addiction, which is a good thing, I guess, in some ways. Often you get people who come and say to the young ones, to the teenagers, look, I was a drug user and I smoked a lot of cannabis in my life and I did this wrong and I just went out and partied every night. But you don't do that. Don't do that at all in your life. And it's kind of just putting a red flag out there for them to charge at, which is not what I'm going to do because I'm not that person tonight. But I think that understanding what addiction is, it's certainly a temptation that we all need to be aware of and need to understand how that can impact our lives and how we can actually grow through those times in our life. So what is addiction? Very shortly or very concise, addiction is the condition of being enslaved by a habit or a substance or a practice to such an extent that when you stop it, it would cause you trauma in your life. So it's a compulsion that you have. It's something that you crave for, something or some activity. It refers to anything that controls your life and that takes over the place of where God should sit on his throne in your life. Something that you just need to continue to do and find it hard to stop doing. What is that? Well, it could be many things. If we talk about substances, I think in Australia as well, there's a growing concern for cannabis, for marijuana. There's a growing concern most certainly for the use of ice. It can be tobacco, so smoking itself that's addictive. It can be alcohol, or it can be practices which I think we struggle with in this nation quite a lot, gambling and pornography, and even spending a lot of time on screens. So binge watching TV or spending a lot of time on your mobile and finding it hard to break that habit. It can be things that are even good for us in some sense, work. Who doesn't have to work? But work can become an addiction, and some people become workaholics, where that just takes the place of God in their life, and they cannot stop doing more and more work. Or shopping, spending more money, and it makes you feel better to buy things. Or even exercise. Now, that's one addiction I can clearly say I'm not addicted to at the moment. But certainly it is a threat for some people. The more you exercise, the more your body releases endorphins, the better you feel, and the more you crave for that in life, and the more it takes over your whole being. So it can actually be almost anything that we come in contact with in life. And what happens is, once you do something or use something, you get this feeling of pleasure, of joy. It's a high you experience. and you crave for that to happen again. And it's never easy to get that same sensation, so you keep on chasing that dream. In using opium, the phrase came about of saying you are chasing the dragon, the smoke that you are chasing. But it's a phrase that are often used nowadays for chasing that high, wanting to achieve that joy that you had the first time you had this substance, or the first time you did this activity. It's also a case of withdrawal symptoms are hard to go through. So when you're addicted to something, when you do not do that activity or do not take that substance, it is hard for your body to cope with. So you get that sensation of you need and you crave for that thing. Once you are in that situation, there's nothing good that comes from it. You damage your body. You damage your relationships. A lot of families have been broken up by this sin. You damage your bank account. You damage your relationship with the Lord. Addiction is something that a lot of people struggle with on this earth, that is drawing them away from God. And it could be a lot of things that cause it. Some people say being addicted to alcohol could be found in the genes. It could be that we inherit some sort of dependency or some sort of openness to become dependent on things. But very often it's the social structures of the social life we find ourselves in. It's the hardship that people face that make them addicted to escape that reality. How big a problem is it? Well, according to the Sydney Morning Herald, which I'm sure is very factual always, these statistics came about. So have a look at that, and they say that 35% of all Aussies would come in contact or use cannabis in their lifetime. That's a large number. That's a third of all our population. How true that is, I think, is hard for us to gauge, because I'm sure that in this audience, it wouldn't be that high. But I'm also sure if I ask you tonight who has been in contact with cannabis or had people around you use cannabis or marijuana, then many of us would probably say it has happened. There are many communities in Australia where almost the whole community uses cannabis. A more growing concern would be methamphetamine or ice as well. And according to the Sydney Morning Herald, 7% of all adults have used methamphetamine. Once again, that's a large number. 2.5% have used cocaine. If you turn to other things like prescription meds, more than 800 people die of an overdose of prescription meds in our country every single year. It's very easy for people to get addicted to things like pain medication. And that's a big problem that we are facing as well. If you turn to gambling, how proud can we be of this? Australia is number one in the world for how many poker machines we have per person. More than 200,000 poker machines. That's one for every 114 people, more or less, 120 people. That's a lot of gambling going on. And that's not counting the times people use their mobiles or their computers to place bets on almost anything that happens. So is it a problem we have in our country? I think it certainly is. Addiction might not be something that a lot of us are struggling with, but certainly it is a struggle for many people out there. And it could be that we might be facing struggles and things that we see more safe, like exercise, like watching TV, like working, like eating. The things that is needed and necessary, but can take control of your life. So as we focus on this and as we seek God's guidance in this, there are many passages that I could choose tonight to focus on. We could look at passages from Hebrew, for example, talking about the Bible, about the body as a temple of God, and how we need to sanctify our bodies and keep that holy. That would have been appropriate. We could have talked about idolatry, how we shouldn't place anything above God, and we actually dealt with that in the Ten Commandments. Tonight I'm taking a bit of a different approach as we look at Philippians 3, and it's an approach that Paul uses as well to talk about our physical living and how we should take note of how we live and what we actually do with our bodies, because that can take the place of God in our bodies or in our living. So Paul uses the example of, or the illustration of, our citizenship to explain this. Citizenship. And I'll share this with you tonight as well. It's so important to understand how important citizenship is. Being a citizen of a certain nation or a certain country has a very big impact in your life. It determines how you live. For us, and I just briefly mentioned this, it's not anything about addiction, but it sort of talks about citizenship. I mentioned this morning as well. We became aware of the fact again of how privileged we are to be in Australia over the last month. And the reason for that was there's a lot of farm murders, white farmers being murdered in South Africa. And in fact, over the last 25 years of democracy or independence or whatever, about 24,000 white farmers have been killed on their farms. And over the last month, someone I used to play golf with, the only other left-handed player in my first club, he and his wife was brutally killed on their farm. And then in just this past week, someone in my brother's town, a friend of my brother's, who was a doctor, he and his wife were also brutally killed on their farm. And that just gave us the sense again of how privileged we are to actually be in Australia, and the way of life that we actually have here, the safety we have to go out walking for our kids, to go to the movies and walk back home at night. Not that you can be complacent, but certainly we are living in a place of which is fairly safe. It might be that people think it's okay to go and headbutt the previous prime minister, or we live in a country where there's a lot of arguing at the moment about certain things and how you should vote and shouldn't vote, and there's a lot of aggression. But amongst all of that, we feel privileged to be citizens of this country. Let me tell you another example, just for you to understand how important this is. So I had a look at the 2017 census to understand what the average Australian looks like, and it's actually a woman. So the average Australian is a lady of 37 years old, earning the average salary of $78,000 per year, and she's expected to live up to the age of about 85. Now, if you look at our closest neighbor geographically, Indonesia, which is only about 200 kilometers from the northern borders of our country, that same lady in Indonesia would earn a salary of $6,900 for the year. She would only be expected to live to the age of 71. She wouldn't have the car or the comforts that we have here in Australia. We are blessed to be here. Our citizenship makes all the difference. And that is, I think, what Paul wants this congregation in Philippi to understand as well. And he wants us to understand how citizens of where you are on earth, or citizens of heaven, should live. And you should understand who you are. So in Philippians 3, he writes to them, and he starts in verse 12 by saying, look, life is like a race that you are running. And as you run this race, you should have your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. And you persevere until the end, until you receive the victor's crown. That's the goal you have. That's how life is to be seen. It's like that race that you are running. And then he goes on from verse 17 to say, but life is also being a citizen of a kingdom. And you should understand of which kingdom you are a citizen of. He explained this to the people in Philippi, because this is something that was close to their hearts and close to their way of life. Philippi itself was a Roman settlement, a Roman colony. It was a city that was surrounded by a different culture where people were speaking a different language, but because it was colonized and part of the Roman Empire, people in Philippi were speaking Latin, and they all had and longed for Roman culture and Roman ways of living, and they felt quite at home in that. And so it's comparable, I guess, today to our connection or our heritage with Britain, with the UK. If someone from the UK comes to visit Australia, they would feel fairly at home. They might eat fairly similar things, or they could. They would be able to get by with the English that they speak. They would struggle to understand some of the things we say. Good day, mate. They say, what? So they struggle with some of the things, but they would be speaking the same language. And it's the same in New Zealand, and it's the same in the US, and that was the case here as well. So Romans would feel safe in Philippi. They would feel at home. And that was something that they actually aspired to and loved, being who they are. And now Paul writes to them and says to them, look, even though this Roman citizenship is something that's close to your heart and something that you are really proud of, you need to understand that someone who becomes a follower of Jesus, someone who belongs to God, is a citizen of heaven and needs to live a life that is different to those around you. Don't be dragged into the false teaching of you need to live like your neighbors and be like your neighbors. As a Christian, you need to be different. So the teaching back then, the false teaching was that life is there to be enjoyed. Earthly pleasures is to be enjoyed. The body and the stomach was made for eating, so therefore that is what you do. It's for drinking, so you drink excessively. The body is made for sex, so you just go out and live out an immoral life. That is what you do. You enjoy every single moment of life. And it sounds very familiar to the thinking of 2017, where people have the saying of go hard or go home. Live life to the fullest. And if you do that, that is when addiction actually grabs you and takes hold of you, and you become a citizen of this earth more than you should be as a citizen of heaven. Paul explains very clearly what the impact of this in our lives are. In verse 19 he says, their destiny is destruction. See, if you live a life just focused on earthly pleasures, if you live a life just solely focused on that and live a life as a citizen of this earth and that's where you are, you think you belong, you live a life according to that, the end result is destruction. And with addiction especially, it is destructive to your whole being. Even more important, it's destructive to your eternal life because it draws you away from God. And that's why Paul also says in verse 19, their God is their stomach. They have a different focus. If you live a life like this, you become very selfish. You make your own idols. You start to obey other things rather than God. You boast in your freedom, he says, but it's your shame. You're not free. You are enslaved by something else. You have this focus of a mindset focused on earthly things. Now, all addictions wants you to focus on earthly things. Whether it be technology, whether it be food, whether it be work, whether it be whatever it is in life, it wants to have your focus drawn away from God and placed on earthly things. Paul's not saying, and I want to make that very clear as well, Paul's not saying that Christians should not have joy in their life. In fact, if Christ is your king and if Christ rules your world, then you actually find even more pleasure in these things that he blesses you with. So exercise becomes something that you glorify him in. Your work becomes something that you glorify him in. Your drug use is not something that you can glorify him in. It's something you should avoid so that you can glorify him in your living. It's acknowledging the fact that Jesus is your king and that you are a citizen of heaven. How does that impact your life? Well, Paul mentions one or two things which I just want to highlight as well. In verse 17, Paul says, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Now, Paul's not saying, I think, very egocentric that he's the example that everyone should follow because of who he is. But Paul was living a life that is glorifying God, and that's why he says, all the others who live according to the pattern we gave you. What is most encouraging to us? What are the things we look up to as we seek to grow in faith and seek to be what God wants us to be? Well, it is God's word and how we learn from that. But even more that, I think it is the godly examples of people that we have out there that we look up to. And I mentioned that this morning as in the 8:30 service especially, people were really remembering Alan and the example that he was to us in this congregation. How committed he was, serving in the choir for, or singing in the choir for more than 40 years, and I think probably on management committee that same time as well. A man of few words, but a man full of the Holy Spirit and full of grace. And someone that you could look up to and find a great example of commitment and perseverance. Alan often was in hospital the morning getting dialysis or other treatment or surgery even, and that same night he would be at choir rehearsal, he would come to a management committee meeting. Those are the kind of people that you look up to in God's kingdom. Citizens who've gone before you that you actually take note of and say, I want to grow to be like that person in life as well. Next week, as we talk about parenting, that's certainly something that I will be touching on as well. There's something else Paul mentions, and he says, look, citizens of heaven also have a very specific focus. They're looking forwards towards something, and that is the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our King is to come again. And with that hope in our lives, we live a life that wherein we want to glorify Him and wants to show that expectation of us keeping our bodies holy and the way we live so that we might be praising Him and longing for Him to come again. In summary, Paul says, if you are a citizen of heaven, you will take note of how you live. And in taking note of how you live, you will make sure that you have Jesus as your only King and ruler in life. That He takes priority in all the things you do. And anything else in life brings in a threat of that, then you will stop that and avoid that. Because that addiction that you might have is going to take you away from our Lord and our King. How do you do that? If it is something that you are struggling with, or someone you know, or something you want to pass on, then here are some practical advice, which I came across in my reading as well. So often if you go to the AA or any of these group sessions where addiction is dealt with, it's normally 12 steps that they use in guiding you to break the addiction. Tonight I'm just going to do 9, not from that pattern, but 9 steps or 9 things that you can remember as you want to break that bond or that grasp of an addiction enslaving you. The first thing is, you need to be determined to break the addiction. And that's the start of all sins we face. If you're half-heartedly going to go into it, you probably won't end that sin. With addiction, you probably won't overcome it if you are not committed to overcome it. You need to make sure that, and be honest to God as you confess this, and seek to break it. Know that it's wrong, and want to stop doing it. And that's the first step that you need to take. That's the biggest step to take. Acknowledging that this is wrong and you want to break that habit. You also need to reflect on why this is actually happening. So very often, the addiction itself is not the problem. With pain medication people get addicted to, it might be a physical thing that is causing them to take the pain meds, and they need to focus on that. As I mentioned with ice, ICE itself certainly is a big problem, but it's also the social life that those people are finding themselves in. It's the poverty. It's the abuse that's happening in our community. It's all those things that are causing people harm and are driving them to use substances like ICE. So understand what it is, what is causing you to be addicted or to find or seek joy in something else. Know, thirdly, that God wants you to succeed. God is on your side. God does not want any one of us to be enslaved by anything of this or from this world. God is our Redeemer, God is our Savior, and God will give us the strength we need. He's on your side. Know that He can help you and expect help from Him. It's a fight you fight on your knees. After you've done that, then you need to adopt a strategy for stopping. It's good to have all these intentions and thoughts, but you actually need to do something about it. What can you do? First of all, distance yourself from that activity or that addiction that you have. If it is that you're getting concerned with your use of technology, you are finding that my mobile's taking over my life, then distance yourself from that addiction. Go on a holiday and leave your mobile at home. Well, say, I'm having a mobile-free week if you're able to do that. If it's anything else, you can use whatever examples you have, but distance yourself from the problem. Then also open up to others for help. And that's one of the great things of the Bible, the fact that God says we are in spiritual, loving families and communities. We need one another in so many ways. And we should be there for one another if we are struggling as well. You need not go through this alone. It's something that others can help you with. If you don't want to reach out to anyone in church, then reach out to a family member, reach out to your doctor, go online. There are so many support groups out there for all addictions you can think of. So reach out to someone to be there for you and support you. Seventh is protect yourself from possible triggers. Very often it's something that triggers the use or the practice of addiction. I remember back in South Africa, one of those sins I guess I need to confess as well, that I had smoked tobacco in the past. Not regularly, every now and then, with friends. When there was a barbecue, and when you had a beer in one hand, the normal practice and the culture back there was all the men stood around the fire, out in the bush, enjoying the wild Africa atmosphere with a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. How do you stop that? Avoid that situation. Don't let that trigger lead you or make you use any of those substances or form to addiction. Eight would be turn your focus to alternative positive things. See, repentance and conversion is all about leaving behind what's bad but putting on the clothes of righteousness, doing what is good. If you leave an addiction, if you want to stop an addiction, start doing something that's actually healthy and good for you. Think about what that might be. Could be that you want to volunteer in church. Could be that you just want to do something else. But do something instead of the wrong things that you've done before. And lastly, keep believing and persevering for victory. It doesn't happen instantly that you break an addiction and you are all free of it. You might relapse. And people often do. And then they feel so guilty about that they continue in that addiction once again. But know that God will lead you through this. And even if you relapse, God forgives you that sin and will help you to continue to break this addiction. There's this ad on TV about smoking itself, I think. And it's the example of a guy who wants to quit. And he quit for, I think, 2 days. And then he got so aggressive and irritated that his girlfriend or his wife or whoever just gave him a cigarette to just calm down. That's the first time. The second time, I think he was able to stop for a month. And I think at a barbecue or something, started smoking again. And then the third time, it says that he stopped and he's happy and healthy and what have you. And I think the main idea in that is persevere as you try to break the addiction. If it doesn't happen the first time, continue to try. The second time will be easier, the third time even easier. God wants us to live like citizens of heaven. We need to be different. We need to show that we are different. And we show that in the fact and the way and how we live in the fact that we don't bow or are ruled or reigned by anything else than Jesus. And that is why addiction does not fit in our lifestyle. May we continue to struggle and grow as we face this temptation. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that we do not live in the community or are not made up in matchup of people who come across this problem of addiction too often. Thank you, Lord, that we know that not many of our people, if any, are addicted to substances like cannabis or ice or cocaine or heroin. But we do know, Lord, that it is a problem for our community and a problem for our country. And that many people face this issue. And although we might not be facing the issue of a drug addiction, Lord, it's so easy for us to be drawn away from you and become addicted to things that might even seem harmless and healthy, like work, eating, watching TV, being on our mobiles, and even exercise. So easily, Lord, something in life can take over our lives and take your part in controlling us, enslaving us. Lord God, give us your Spirit to guide us as we go through life to be aware of this, for our eyes to be open to this, so that when this temptation, when this danger comes across us, our lives, that we will be aware of it and that we will fight it off. And when we find ourselves in that grip of addiction, Lord, that we will know that that's not where you want us, and that we will grow towards you and breaking that addiction in life. We know, God, that you love us dearly, that you sent Jesus to save us, and we have a life of redemption, a life full of joy in you. And so we pray, Lord, that that will be our sole focus, that we will understand what it means to be citizens of heaven. That we will be glad about that citizenship, Lord, that we will rejoice in that citizenship. That we will have our lives be determined by that citizenship. Father God, we pray that you will continue to be with us in this week, as we continue into this week, as we have holidays for our kids, Lord, I pray that you'll give them a time of relaxation and joy and resting, and that you'll keep them safe from all the earthly snares that they might face. Lord, be with us as we travel tonight. Keep your hands over us. And once again, be with those in our community who really need your support and love tonight. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.